This morning, I wanted to speak on something that I believe is very, very important in Christianity. And it will help in defining, in us getting over this religious mindset, all right, and be able to integrate the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, into our everyday affairs and have the demonstration of his power in critical areas within our lives. Now people approach this from a religious mindset when you talk about the anointing, and so they miss out on something that is real massive. And I don't talk about, all right, skill and the anointing. Now, I put out a video and some people went back and forth over it, and I just had this impression while I was praying this morning, all right, over this particular broadcast here, all right, to focus on that particular thing and talk about the anointing, all right. Is it the anointing versus skill, all right? Or is it the anointing and skill? How do we integrate that particular thing? First of all, I will start out by defining basically what does the anointing mean. In other words, when a person is said to be anointed, that is, this person is anointed. What that means, all right, and we know the Holy Spirit, the Bible says Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit there. So the anointing there is when the Holy Spirit comes upon a man for the fulfillment of a particular thing. So if you're anointed into an office, in other words, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, right, to enable you to fulfill, all right, the work of that particular office, which means the duties that are attached to that office. And so the anointing, we'll just define it here, is the operations of the Holy Spirit within a man. In other words, when we say a person is anointed to do something, it means there is the operations of the Holy Spirit within that particular man to fulfill that particular thing. And so we see a clear distinction between a person who doesn't have the operations of the Holy Spirit to fulfill that and a person who has the operations of the Holy Spirit. In other words, there is some supernatural thing in operation. So if a man is anointed to do something, then we have the Holy Spirit operating in that man in the fulfillment of that particular thing. And if a person is not anointed, then we don't have the operations of the Holy Spirit within that particular person, all right, to fulfill that. And so once the Holy Spirit is in operation, then we understand that performance level will be stepped up, which means that as the heavens are, all right, far from the earth, so will an anointed man in his performance be far away from a person that is not anointed. Now, then we will define what it means to be skilled at something. Now, to be skilled at something means it is the ability to be able to carry out a task with determined results, often within a given amount of time and energy. So the first definition is that this person can carry out a task within, all right, a defined period of time there, right, and he's able to fulfill it with a determined result, so to speak. In other words, a person who is skillful immediately will tell you, because he has skill there, he says, so how long will this take? He looks at it, it'll take me, all right, 2 days to do this, and he delivers that particular thing within that period of time. All right. Skill also is the ability to do something well. Okay. That is the ability to carry out a task, right, with determined results, is the ability to use one's knowledge effectively and readily in execution and performance. So it says is the ability, skill is the ability to do something well. Skill is the ability to use one's knowledge effectively and readily in execution and in performance. Now we said to be anointed is that the Holy Spirit there, all right, is the operations of the Holy Spirit within a man to fulfill something. And so there's a clear distinction between a person, all right, who is anointed and a person who is not anointed to do something. In other words, the Holy Spirit is working inside that individual while the other person is not working in the individual. Now, you should therefore understand and should be clear that whoever has the Holy Spirit, from the definition of what we mean to be skilled, whoever has the Holy Spirit working on the inside of him for the fulfillment of something will definitely be skilled at it. In other words, the amount of energy that that person will use, the exertion that we're going to see there, will be low and minimal. right? Which means there'll be a flawless execution of it. It will be executed in a time period, all right, that we will find to be unreal. In other words, you mean you got that particular thing done within this particular period of time, shortened period of time. We'll also find that that person, all right, will use knowledge effectively. He will demonstrate a much higher form of knowledge and the administration of that knowledge in order to produce that. In other words, what we're saying is that when we get into this, we'll find out that a person who is anointed to do something will therefore exhibit superior skills to somebody who is not anointed. So there is no battle between anointing and skill. Actually, to be anointed to do something means you have shown superiority in skill level there, far beyond, which is no human being can match up with the skill level that you are demonstrating. And that skill is coming directly from the Holy Spirit, who is enabling you to do that particular thing. So you have superiority skill there. In other words, a person who is anointed, a medical doctor, says, comes out and says, I ask people, are you going to enter into a plane of a pilot there who has never trained to be a pilot? And says, well, I'm anointed to fly. Can you come into the plane with me? You are not going to get into the plane. So why do we play games with this? You are not going to do that. If somebody says that, well, there are medical doctors all around, and somebody rushes their child to hospital, God forbid, and then someone says, well, I'm anointed, all right, in the area of medicine. And he has no proven record there. He's not trained. And he says, well, I'm anointed to do it. Leave your child. You're not going to do that. You will not do that. All right. But if a person begins to fly a plane, and we're going to get into this here, and he shows superiority in skill level. In other words, he begins to do certain maneuvers. He starts carrying certain things out. And then you ask the person, how are you doing all this? Said, well, I am anointed, all right, to do this. In other words, that anointing demonstrates itself in the superiority there, all right, in skill level in the application of that particular thing. So we want to look at how this works. And that's what we find throughout the entire scripture. In other words, Joseph was anointed, so he showed superiority in skill level. Jacob was anointed. The Bible talks about the fact that the blessing was given to Jacob. The blessing is the person of the Holy Spirit. There was an impartation of the Holy Spirit into Jacob. When Jacob went into Laban's house, right, it wasn't magic there. Laban said, I have learned by experience since you're coming into this particular place. You study it well. You'll find out that Jacob, even from the get-go, when he got to that particular town there, and he saw the way that they were bringing their cattle, all right, to take water, all right, from the well there, and everybody will wait. He said, look, you are missing on out on significant time zones. The way you have arranged this particular thing is wrong. Go and read it. He said, look, what you should do is immediately people come in, they should be able to drink. And he started the reorganization. When he went into Laban's house, he said, I've learned from experience. There was skill level there, superiority in skill. That's why he came and the anointing manifested itself in a level of intelligence, all right, that even till date, all right, scientifically, we cannot even prove, we can't reproduce it. He said, look, give me this type of cattle here and that are black, all right, and brown, all right, black and block brown. He said, and I understand what to do. And it wasn't magic. He put in a process. He cut, all right, took a tree trunk and cut it and scraped it and now put it before the eyes. So you could see that there was a method to that particular thing. In other words, God showed him that when they are mating, if you can keep this thing right before their eyes, while you also are seeing them producing that particular thing, then this is what is going to happen. Now, so to Moses, God showed him his ways, which means that what ways he taught him the laws. To the children of Israel, he showed the acts. So the children of Israel did not know, all right, how those things came about. But Moses, who was anointed, had an understanding of the laws that God had given to him that when he put in place, brought about such manifestations, all right, on the outside there. So the anointing works on the inside of us. I want to say what it does. And when the anointing is in operation and you are in your office, superiority of skill is there. Once there's superiority of skill there, it's going to draw the attention of people in authority. And they're going to promote that individual, not magically there, not, you know, by luck, but because this person has demonstrated certain qualities that are even not known to man. In other words, we cannot do without this person. Laban said, I cannot do without you, Jacob. Pharaoh looked at Joseph and said, there is no other person inside this place that understands the administration of this thing like you do. In the case of Daniel, this wasn't fluke here. They tested them. That's the anointing. And they found out that they had 10 times more understanding. And what Daniel did at the beginning was that Daniel said the diet that the king brought will affect. This is what Daniel was really saying, will affect their brain cells. Today, scientists are talking about a particular type of food that actually affects, all right, the cognitive abilities of people. That if you eat on this, they are discovering that today. Daniel looked at what they were serving on the table and said, look, we're going to stick just to this particular diet. Come and test. Number one, look at our skin. We are seeing that today, all right, which means that if you eat, all right, the right type of food, it will show in the way your skin. It wasn't just magic here, right? The skin there. And it will also show in your intellect, your intellectual ability. And so when the king tested them there, they found them to be 10 times more understanding. Then after some time, they found that anointed also working in Daniel. And they said at one other point, no other person can dissolve doubt. No other person has answers to situations like you. You have an excellent spirit that is on the inside of you. Now, let me tell you what really affects us, because I'm really heavy on this, because this is what's blocking. You know, when we're in school, there used to be this testimony that used to go around. And it's this kind of testimonies here that people latch onto, not what is inside the Bible. And you find people, when they're talking, most of the time they're referring to testimonies, you were not there. You did not see exactly what happened. All right? People tell testimonies and they don't say everything. Okay? Now, and you do not know, all right, whether somebody else was making intercession for that person. You don't know everything that was at play, all right, in that particular testimony there. Now, this chap comes out and testifies, and it seems so glorious. He says that, well, you know, he sat in the exam hall and he didn't write anything and submitted his paper and then came out, all right, with an A in that particular subject, and then comes out to say that what we discovered, right, was when the person who was marking the script saw it and there was nothing, put 2 question marks. And so when the person who was going to record it saw 2 question marks, he thought it was 77 and therefore wrote 77, and you know, he scored. Now, what does that kind of testimony do to people? All right. It says there, all right, that, you know, you can go in and submit an empty paper and people begin to think that way, right? And then you can still come out by the grace of God and get 77. Now, what God does is that when he says you shall be the head and not the tail, he's talking about, read through the scriptures, every single person that was promoted demonstrated some measure of superiority in knowledge when they were tested. When you test them, you'll find an excellent spirit. That Daniel said, look, you don't have to kill all these folks, right? There's a way in which we can get this knowledge and get the interpretation of the dream. And it was the anointing on the inside of them that did that. So we come to the story of David and Goliath. Now, what really happened, all right, was it just the skill or the anointing? What we're saying is the anointing on the inside does something that now increases your skill level. Now, if it wasn't an issue of skill that came from the anointing, why was it that when Saul gave him his armor, why did David say, I haven't proven this thing? In other words, I haven't used it. I haven't tested it. If it was just a matter of taking a stone and throwing the stone and the power of God comes upon the stone and then he hits Goliath and dies. If it was just a matter of we take a sword, well, he got Saul's armor. He could have taken the sword and threw the sword, all right, at Saul. And then Saul will have just gone and then the power of God will have hit the sword and the man will have died. Why did David say, I have not yet proven and tested this? In other words, I can only use what, right, I have skill in this particular thing at. And how did he get that skill? That was where the anointing came in and taught David and showed David certain things. So I want to look at this principle here, and I'll just close by telling you how to activate the anointing. So the anointing there is the Holy Spirit operation on the inside of a person to fulfill a task. All right, skill, all right, becomes the demonstration of that operation of the Holy Spirit inside. In other words, when the Holy Spirit is operating inside you, there is a level of energy, all right, that is released that causes that work to be accomplished, all right, within a short period of time, and it is done flawlessly. In other words, it's executed flawlessly. And so is the anointing that actually increases what we will call. So to a person who is a Christian, he looks at somebody who is, all right, let's say an exceptional medical doctor. And he says, man, all right, you're a Christian. And then he uses what is what we'll call Christianese, which is the language that Christians use, and say, you are anointed in this thing. For you to have done this operation, all right, like Ben Carson, you are anointed. For you to have been able to do this, you are anointed. Now, to somebody who is not familiar with that language, he will refer to that superiority there and say, listen, the skill that you have shown here is rare, is not known, all right? I have never seen, because he's not familiar with the term anointing. But you, who is familiar with that term, when it comes to it, will say, the Holy Spirit came upon you and did something on the inside to make you execute, all right, this particular thing in this, all right, flawless manner. So how does this anointing work that increases, all right, skill level? In Exodus chapter 31 and verse 3, we see where God says that I filled them with the Spirit of God in all wisdom and all manner of workmanship. So we find the Spirit of God coming upon a man in all wisdom. The word wisdom, there is skill, and all manner, all right, of workmanship. But the important thing I want to get across to us today, all right, on this particular subject, the important thing I want to get across today on this particular subject here about the anointing is this. I want to get it out, all right, from the very words of Jesus Christ. We have said that Moses knew the ways of God, all right, but the children of Israel saw the act. So he was taught the laws. I want to look at this, the laws here. He understood it, how it works. But the children of Israel, all right, all just saw the act there. Jesus speaking about the works that he was doing. All right, we'll see this in the book of John. Now, just listen to what Jesus said, and then we'll tie this up here. In John chapter 5 and verse 20, Jesus said, John chapter 5 and verse 20, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. He said, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. In other words, everything you see me doing is what I saw the Father do. He now went on, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him, get that, greater works than these that you may marvel. In other words, every work that Jesus did, the Father showed Jesus first. And then Jesus went and carried out the work, right? So he was shown. God showed him. Now, you can feed the multitude. Let me show you how, all right, you can multiply the loaves here. And so God showed him what to do. The Bible says Jesus knew what he will do. So God had shown him that you can feed the multitude and showed him what to do. And Jesus immediately carried that out. Tell the people to sit down in camps here, organize them, and then took it up and gave thanks. Now, here's the point. If what Jesus was doing, that were mighty works on the outside, it was based on what the Father showed him. Now, Jesus said, when I'm gone, I will send the Spirit. And then he said, he shall take the things of mine and show them unto you. In other words, the anointing, which is the operation of the Holy Spirit within a man, it shows that before that man executes that particular thing, that you found flawless and massively skillful. The Holy Spirit had showed him, first of all, on the inside, what he was supposed to do. So he carried out exactly what he saw the Spirit do. So he said, all right, he said, the Father shows, and then I carry out what the Father, all right, does. Now we now get to John chapter 14. We'll see this here, John chapter 14 and verse 12. And then he started, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, And greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. Now, he wants to tell us how we'll do these greater works on the outside. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my instructions, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he shall dwell with you and shall be in you. I shall not leave you comfortless. And then he went on and said in verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance whatsoever I told you. So Jesus said, these works that I did, greater works than these shall you do. He said, because I go to the Father, and what I'm going to do there is I'm going to pray, and the Spirit of truth will be given to you, and he will teach you all things. So the Holy Spirit comes and teaches us how to do those things. So he said, ask in my name. We ask in his name, and then Jesus gives us a supply of the Spirit who now teaches us what we ought to do. Remember what David said. David said, God who teacheth my fingers or my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken with my hands. Now, in other words, what he was saying was that God taught me my fingers to fight, such that a bow of steel. Now, if I take a bow of steel, if a man says like Samson, we say he was anointed. All right? He was anointed. So he had the ability to do supernatural things by the Holy Ghost. Now, David said, so if you saw Samson and took a bow of steel and broke it, we'll say that's the anointing. Yes. But the anointing there is the Spirit of God who teaches that person, right? And taught him the secret of that thing. Gave him supernatural information concerning it. So David said, he has taught my fingers such that I take a bow of steel. So we give everybody a bow of steel, impossible to break with the hands. But having been taught by the Spirit, showing me exactly where to hold, I put my hand there and bam, I break it. And there's a manifest. And you say, well, that's supernatural. That's massive. How do you do that? I was taught by God on what to do. In other words, the minute he teaches you how to do that thing, he has released a miraculous ability in those set of instructions, which means the minute you carry out the instructions, the anointing, which is the supernatural ability of God, is released, all right, into that situation. And we see what we'll call superiority there in skill. In other words, this person is able to accomplish this particular thing. And it's that superiority, all right, there that now draws the attention of people. I mean, there was a time Solomon was building the temple, the house of God, all right, after David was gone. He sent to a place, said, there is no man that has skill among us. Now, they had God, but he said, there is no man that has skill like the people of this particular area. Call them that they should come and help us in building, all right, this particular house here. So God grants supernatural ability by teaching that particular person. And when he teaches that person, then that person demonstrates a level of skill, right, that is much higher than that which is done naturally. And that is what we call the anointing. Now, let me prove to you and close with this exactly what we're saying. If you look at 1 John, all right, chapter 2 and verse 27. We'll see it here. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. It says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, the anointing. And you need no man. You need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no lie, even as he hath taught you, you shall abide in him. In other words, a person who abides in the anointing and what they're doing is abiding in the teaching of the anointing. So when the anointing comes into a man, what the anointing does is to teach that man how to do the thing. And if you abide in the teaching of the anointing, who is the Holy Spirit, then you are now show yourself on the outside to be anointed, all right, in the accomplishment of that particular thing. So we should stop giving the idea that a person who doesn't know anything, who doesn't receive any instruction, right, just comes out and feels that the anointing is just a feeling that you have, which means if you shake, then you're anointed. All right. If you just pray in tongues for a while and you feel light, then you're anointed. The anointing, the Holy Spirit, there's what we call the intrinsic ministry of the Holy Spirit and his extrinsic ministry. Intrinsic means what he does internally. Extrinsic means what he does externally. That's the nine gifts of the Spirit, where you see a demonstration there on the outside. But what he does within, principally, is to teach knowledge. He says, we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit of God, that we may know those things freely given to us. He says, he will teach you all things. He will guide you into all truth. These are instructive things. He will take the things that I've told you and bring to your remembrance. He will show you things to come. He will take the things of mine and show you. In other words, these are things that give to the person who is operating with the spirit superior knowledge. And it's that superior knowledge that they put into practice that now causes. So the medical doctor, what he's saying here, he says, you need no man to teach you. In other words, you could be taught by a person, but once the anointing comes on that, what the anointing do is teach you in a way that when you are in operation, people say, no man taught you that. So a medical doctor could be there, have knowledge of medicine there, and he's doing an operation, and they get stuck. And then the anointing now comes in and begins to teach that person. Do it in this particular way. He does it. Do this here. You remember this that was said to you. Connect this with this. Connect that. Connect this. And even a person who taught him, all right, medicine, stands and says, how are you doing all these things? Then he says, by the anointing. But when that person looks at what he's doing, it is exact. In other words, you know, it never occurred to me. I had read this, but it never occurred to me. This is the first time you are actually accurate in what you are doing by combining this, but it is not in any book. So it's the Holy Spirit that begins to come in and teach that particular person, all right, and gives him that higher level of information concerning that thing. And that's what we call the manifestation. That's why it says the teaching of the anointing is far greater than that which any man can teach you on that particular subject matter. So David said, I had more understanding than my teachers because, all right, your statutes were my meditation. So let's not, all right, do this conflict here. Now, there's something I learned from my pastor, Olivia Johnson, many years ago when I got saved. He said, look, there's the exception, there's the rule. All right? The rule is that the anointing comes in a man and teaches that man. You can find exceptions here and there. Well, you say, well, pastor, can you say this? You are copying out of this? No. What we're saying is that the exception in the case of getting saved of Paul was that he saw, all right, he saw Jesus and gave his life. Nobody preached to him. He didn't make any confession. He gave his life to Christ. Immediately he saw. That's the exception. Now, you are not going to now say the rule is the way everybody is going to get saved is that we should just be praying that they should have an encounter with Jesus Christ. The rule is go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and get men converted there by the preaching of the word. Now, that is supernatural. Now, this other one is the spectacular that God does from time to time based on his own disposition. Maybe somebody somewhere else was praying and was interceding and got into it heavily, and God came out and did that in a spectacular way. But we don't chase the spectacular. We follow the supernatural. And the supernatural there is that the Holy Spirit will teach. So what happened to David was that the Holy Spirit taught him how to use a sling and a stone in order to get results. So when they gave him Saul's armor, he said, I have not yet been taught by God on this particular thing, so there will be no anointing on it. Do you see it? All right? Why? I mean, if the anointing was just something that came just by chance on something, then he should have taken Saul's armor and done that. He said, look, I have an anointed way. In other words, I have a way the Holy Spirit has taught me to use the sling and stone that took out the bear, that took out the lion, and that same anointing will go out here. Once I carry this sling and stone, and the Goliath is going to die. And he said that and got that, all right, particular result. All right. And got that particular powerful result in that particular place. So, let me just close by saying this. How then do you, all right, activate the anointing of God right over your life? How do we activate that anointing? Understand the anointing will teach you, all right? And then you abide in the teaching, and then you get massive results. First thing you've got to do is this. Spend time in prayer. So you have a task, and you want the anointing of God to come upon you for the fulfillment of that task. In other words, let's even say you are in the office, and you are given a target, all right? In a specific period of time there, you are told, all right, to raise a certain amount, or you've gone into business, or you're at work, and you have a challenge, and you want the anointing of God to come upon you for that particular task. Or you're a medical doctor, and you have this patient, and you're wondering, you've done everything that you know to do. Or you're a lawyer, and you have this case, and you are wondering, all right, how can I get this person out of this situation? You're looking at the book, how am I going to argue this case? And you need the anointing to come upon you for that particular thing. Now, how do it in practice? It's not magic, all right? There's a method to it. Moses understood the ways of God. The children of Israel knew the acts of God. Now, the first thing you should do is spend time praying, all right, about that situation. Like Jesus said, you will ask in my name. He said, and I will send to you the Holy Ghost. That is the anointing. So first thing is that you go to God in prayer there with that particular thing there. All right, the situation that needs the anointing, the situation that needs, all right, the operations of the Holy Spirit. Whatever area the area is, begin. Then the next thing is start mining the Word of God, right, which means digging into the Scriptures to find promises from God in His Word. That, all right, shows, all right, that God is willing to use His power on your behalf in the fulfillment of that particular thing. Very important. So spend time mining the Word of God to find the Scriptures that show that God is willing to use His power to fulfill that particular thing. All right? Now, where we have missed it, right, is that we've gone hocus pocus on this issue of the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, we're bringing this thing down. So it's people will understand and know how to apply it within their lives. Right? So once you find them, now write those things down. The Scriptures there, memorize them. And then put them where you will always make visual contact with those Scriptures. In other words, write them, put them on the wall where you study, where you put them, where at the back of the book you read, at the back of your Bible, whatever it is, where you have visual contact, all right, throughout the entire day. Okay? Now, once you find the Scripture, you have found hope, not yet faith. You have found hope. So begin to declare that hope and start rejoicing in the fact that that particular task has been done. Start rejoicing in the fact that as a doctor, all right, even though it has defied everything you have known naturally now, this child or this person has gotten healed, all right, through the intervention of your hands. Start rejoicing in the fact that you've gotten your client out of that. Start praising and thanking God and praising Him based on that Scripture. Now you're stepping up into the realm of the Spirit. Okay? So, put them somewhere and start thanking and praising God. All right? When your thoughts go adrift and fear wants to come back and you start getting disturbed, look back at those things, declare them out of your lips. That's your hope. Confess your hope. Declare it. All right? About that situation there. Okay? If you keep meditating on the negative, you create opportunities for damaging things to happen. Stay on the right stuff, which is the eternal stuff of God's word. Then having had that hope, get yourself into the place of prayer and start praying in the Spirit, asking God to teach you by the Spirit, asking God for the information there that you need. Now, the eternal truths have brought hope to you. Now, and that has now brought God on the scene in that particular situation. You have gotten God on that particular scene there. You've gotten Him involved now as your partner, let's say, in getting that patient healed. Now, start praying in the Spirit. And start praying in the Spirit. And what you're asking for, right, is information from God on what to do. That superior information, like Daniel went back with his friends and they started praying. Now, so you go and start praying to God about that particular thing. And then expose yourself to all natural information that you can find on that subject matter. And what you're going to have is a reaction of the spiritual upon the natural information that you're reading. And suddenly God is going to connect the dots and show you things that you do not know there. And once he connects the dots there, then the anointing has stepped in and raised your knowledge level, your understanding, your wisdom level, and your skill level to another place there. Now, when you execute what he has shown you, that is that Eureka moment on the inside of you by the Spirit of God, then you'll find the power of God come into operation in that situation, and they will say what you did was anointed, all right, by the Spirit. But let's not just take anointing as a feeling, all right? This is where we're missing it, all right? Anointing is that the Holy Spirit on the inside, all right, works within you to get that particular thing done in a record time and with the least amount of energy and in a way that will startle humanity. And in order for that to happen, he has to give you information. As Jesus said, he said, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. To those that are without, then it's done in parables. It looks like magic, but it's coming from an understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. All right, we got to stop there. I do hope, right, that you were really blessed by this. All right, this thing will be up. Spent more time than I usually do. Will be up, all right, on my page for the next 24 hours. Thank you for being with us. God bless you. I really appreciate this. Have a wonderful day.